In the first reading today, we hear about the extolling of the virtues of a wonderful woman. And we have to be careful how we read this, especially in our day, because we've gotten to the point where we seem to think that we are supposed to be defined simply by what we're able to do. And so we hear about all these things that this worthy wife is capable of doing. And some of these things, when you look at it and you look into our own situation today, we have these women who are trying to say that they don't need men, that they are equal to men, that they can do anything a man can do. And then they're stupid enough to actually try and take them on head to head with some of these things, like get into a boxing ring and think that she can actually deal with a guy who's a foot taller than she is and a lot stronger, or being in a running race, or do whatever. It's like, can a woman do what the man can do? Sure. In some things, it may take a little longer, or it may be a little more difficult because she doesn't have as much physical strength. But as we see in the reading, she can do all kinds of things. There wasn't a question of that. It's the same the other way. If men want to try to be women, good luck. Try to do 3 or 4 or 5 things at one time. It isn't going to work. Women's brains are different than men's brains. And every part of a woman's body is different from every part of a man's body. It's not just 2 or 3 different body parts. Everything else is the same. Everything is different. So why are we trying to be the same? How stupid can we be? But you see, it comes down to this thing, just like we have somebody on the Supreme Court now who doesn't know how to define what a woman is. And she's a woman. It's like, really? But you don't know who you are. You don't know what you are. That's how confused we are in this society. Because, of course, we think everything is equality is the same. And no, it is not. So let me start, and I know it's the women in here don't need to hear this exactly, but we all do anyway, because we're all being affected by the stupidity of what's going on in our culture. So first of all, ladies, don't try to be a man for a number of reasons, but the most important one, don't lower yourself. Pure and simple. Go back and read the book of Genesis. There is an order of perfection in creation. And who's the last being created? The woman. Who's the highest and most perfect being created? The woman. So to try and become a man is to lower yourself and become what you're not. But you see where the problem lies is that we bought the lie. Satan's lie. Women aren't equal to men. And if women aren't equal to men, then what do you have to do to be equal? You have to be a man. All I can tell you, ladies, is that's gross. Why would you want to do that? Yuck. I always try to remember to remind women of the Hebrew word for man is ish. You don't want to become a man. But guys, you don't want to become women either. If God wanted to be a woman, he would have created you that way. He made us male and female. But it's not just about what we're capable of doing. Yeah, you can look at it and say men have greater physical strength and men have greater muscle. Bigger frame and things like that. You can look at it and say, well, only a woman can carry a baby or only a man can be a father and all these other things. Once again, that's all functional. We're not defined by what we can do. We're defined by who we are. And notice what it says after all of these things in the first reading that it talks about. It says, the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. The woman who fears the Lord. Not the woman who can do this or that or the other thing. Not the one who's the best at this or that or the other thing. The woman who fears the Lord. That's the one who's to be praised. Because she is fulfilling who she is as a person. Not just simply doing some functions. Yeah, you could look at it both ways. Can men do what women do? It's not going to be very graceful, but yeah, they could do it. Can women do what men do? Yeah, they can do it. But what's the point? To prove that you have the capacity to do something? What we need to get back to is the question of who am I? You're a human person, made in the image and likeness of God. And for a woman, especially when we hear this point, I mean, the same is obviously true for men in this, but the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Women by nature are relational. It puts you into a relationship with the Lord that is entirely different from the relationship that men have with the Lord. Entirely different. So don't try to make it the same, because you can't. Be who God made you to be. In that fear of the Lord, that, remember, that doesn't mean being scared of God. That means loving God so much that you would fear to offend him. Because you know where the difference is in that relationship. Just to put it very simply, for a woman, it is a spousal kind of relationship with the Lord. Whereas for men, it's a friendship kind of relationship. It's hugely different. The way you deal with your spouse is very different than the way you deal with your friends. Consequently, the way that the spiritual life operates is very different because it's a different kind of relationship. Because God knows the difference between men and women and treats them accordingly. And if we can't figure out that there are some specific practical differences between men and women other than simply physical, we've got ourselves a huge problem. Guess that's where we're at, isn't it? And so we're at the point now where we need to look at what these people did in the gospel. They threw the net in, they pulled all this stuff out, the good stuff they kept, the bad stuff they pitched. Let's pitch the lies. Let's get rid of this trash. Because it's Satan who wants us to believe that women are not equal to men. And it's Satan who wants us to believe that somehow women are less than men. Those are all lies. God created us equal. Again, go back to the first chapter of Genesis. God created man in his image and likeness. Male and female, he created them. It doesn't say he created one of them more or better or anything else. He created us both in his image and likeness. So why are we trying to say that the differences that God created are somehow unequal? The differences don't make us unequal. Yeah, we have unequal abilities. So what? That doesn't mean we're not equal as persons. There is a complementarity. Again, go back to the garden, and what did God do? He started with one and he made two. And so the only time that the fullness of humanity is there is when there is a male and a female united because the two complement one another. We're not in competition with one another, but rather we complete one another. We build one another up. Each, whether we're male or female, doesn't matter, should be able to see the goodness of the other in all of the things that you don't have. And praise God that this person has that, and I want to put that person up on a pedestal because this is so wonderful what God has done. But that should work both ways. Men should be putting women on that pedestal, and women should be putting men on that pedestal. Because we recognize the goodness that God has created in the other. that those differences are not bad. We don't understand them. And there's the book that's the joke, you know, everything men know about women, and all the pages are blank. And, you know, but that goes the other way too. And it's not about, oh, I don't understand, and oh, this is so stupid, and why do they do this, and blah, blah, blah. Just rejoice in the differences. You're not going to understand them. The only way you'd understand them is if you were the other, and you're not. So praise God. But praise God that that other one is there to complement you, to fulfill you, and to bring you to the completion of that humanity that God has given you. Because we're both in His image and likeness. So when we see these things and we hear all this nonsense that's going on in our society, we need to be able to see what the truth is and get to the root of it. Because people, I suppose it comes down to, if you don't believe that God created us in His image and likeness, if we somehow started with some molecule that came down on a rock and went into the primordial soup, and then we became amoeba, and eventually we became what we are, yeah, then it's a competition. Remember, it's the survival of the fittest. Yeah, then we're in competition with one another to see who's greater, who's better, who's more fit. You didn't come from a rock. You didn't come from outer space. God made you, and He made you in His image and likeness. And He made the opposite sex in His image and likeness as well. And He made us to be equal. And He made us to love one another. And He made us to build one another up. And He made us so that we can help one another to grow in holiness. That's what He wants from us. Not competition, not to see if I can do something better than you. If you can do something better than me, praise God, then do it. I mean, it shouldn't be a competition. That's the complementarity. Do what you do well. Trust one another, help one another. Don't tear one another down. And don't try to become what you're not. Because number one, it's a rejection of God who made you in His image and likeness, and it's a rejection of yourself. You can take all the fake hormones that you want. It doesn't make you any different than you are. Your DNA doesn't change. Men can't be women and women can't be men. So let's look at God. Look at what He created, how He created it, and why He created it. Let's reject Satan's lies and embrace the truth so that we can be free. Free from this stupidity, free from the nonsense, and ultimately free to be who God created us to be.